As Matthew shares the story of the Transfiguration to his community, it is a community that knew the stories of Israel well in their hearts. And he helps them to understand what happened on that mountain as he shares images with them that will draw for them the story of Moses. High places like mountains were considered what the people in Celtic traditions would say were thin places, that place, that space between heaven and earth that is thinned, almost like the air that thins as you go higher and higher in elevation. So a high place was where a place where you could possibly speak to God as, or be with God as Moses did on that high mountain. And when Jesus takes Peter and James and John up on that high mountain, the people would know that something special was going to happen there. Peter, James, and John would also be anticipating something special is going to happen here on this day, on this mountain. Because they would remember that Moses received the law on Mount Sinai, a high mountain. Now, over these past 4 weeks, we have been hearing how Jesus interpreted the law to the people when he took his disciples up on the mountain and taught them what we refer to often as the Sermon on the Mount. As you see these parallels between Moses and Jesus and the law and God. And when they get up there before their eyes, Jesus is transfigured. And then, can you imagine in that blinding light? Have you ever been in a blinding light? You kind of have to blink a few times to get focused on what's going on. So when they finally were able to get focused, they see Moses and Elijah. And the two who represent the law, Moses and the prophets, Elijah, just kind of chatting with Jesus. Can you imagine being there and just kind of looking and seeing Jesus and these two figures that you only knew in your scriptures actually having a conversation? And you know, Peter, everyone has got to love Peter. Peter was never very polite. And he just, in his excitement over what he's seeing, he breaks in and he interrupts and he says, "It is good that we are here. Wouldn't you want to say that? If you saw the pinnacles of your faith there with your Savior and he's transfigured, Jesus, I'm so glad you invited us." Can't you imagine his excitement about being there? And then he says, let me make a place for you. He wants to honor this moment. He wants to build something that will be remembered. And he's thinking maybe a house or a tabernacle or some sort of monument. And you got to think about this. This is a high mountain. If you build it up there, who's going to go see it? But he's just caught up in this moment of grace, in this moment of God. And then in the midst of this moment, as he's speaking, and Eugene Peterson uses this phrase in his interpretation, while Peter was babbling, a cloud engulfs them. Now, again, the people reading this would hear that cloud engulfing them and remember the cloud that would come down on the mountain when God was conversing with Moses. They would remember that cloud that was the Spirit of God guiding them through the desert. But for Peter, James, and John, that cloud is a little bit frightening. And then they hear God speak. And God is clear, and this message brings to minds, the minds of those hearing it, our minds, and even Peter, James, and John, to the baptism of Jesus. Because the voice that comes out of the heavens says, in his baptism, "This is my Son, my Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." But God adds different words this time. He says that same thing, "This is my Son, my Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And then he adds, "Listen to him." At this moment, that great joy is moved to great fear, and the mountaintop experience becomes more than their bodies can handle or their minds can understand, and they fall to their knees in fear. And then did you catch what Matthew tells us what Jesus did? Jesus reaches over, or goes to them, and he touches them and says, "Get up. Do not be afraid." He touches them. And I suspect by now Peter has forgotten anything about building anything. He and the others may well be remembering what God has asked of the people on mountaintops. And Jesus might even be confirming that when he goes on to tell those disciples, "Tell no one about the vision until after the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." They may have only heard the word dead. But they came down from that mountain different men. They had encountered God in all of God's majesty. And they had encountered God through his human touch. It is good for us to be here. In worship, we have an opportunity to encounter God through his word in all his majesty, and we get to encounter God through his touch. The touch of one another as we greet, the hug we might give, the words, the eye contact, that moment when we know, "I have been seen. It is good that I am here because through you, God sees me here." And then this morning, to feel the touch of the bread on our hands, to taste the juice in the cup, and to know that God is present here in all his majesty and in all his humanness. It is good to be here and remember the touch that calms our fears. God becomes real for us here in this body. God becomes real for us here in this bread and in this juice and in one another. It is good to go up on the mountain and experience the grace and the majesty and the power and the wonder and the love and the touch of God, because we all know we have to go down off that mountain. But we go well nourished, well fed, with the assurance that our God is greater than anything the world can create. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to offer you an invitation this